Well, it's good to be here. Greetings from the Thessalonians once again. We get to do that once every few months, maybe, or a couple of times a year. And I have to tell you what a warm welcome we receive when we come here. And for you folks who are here week after week, you might just get used to that. And so it doesn't seem like a big deal. But if you're not here for months or if you're visiting here today, I know that you received a warm welcome. Already the worship, the opening, we could close now. It would take the pressure off of me then, wouldn't it? But we could close now. My heart has been ministered to as we broke bread earlier this morning. As we come to the singing and those beautiful hymns and choruses. I just love that. There's a couple there. There was one with that East Coast Celtic kind of tune to it, and that touched my heart right away. Be Thou My Vision is my favorite. And so the warm welcoming that we have here this morning in the name, precious name, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ causes us to forget about those things. Well, it might cause you to forget about those things that you've just left through the week. That's hard to do, isn't it? You know, as we come up here, and it's just other things that make you feel welcome. Dave, that you forgot your notes. That's wonderful. I love it. Because I'm starting to wonder now, what have I got here? Have I got everything I need? And Marie, for you to share about the technology. The last time we were here, I just enjoyed the PowerPoint presentation that I had. But you never got to see it, you see, because I never plugged it in from up here. I spoke the whole time thinking, I'm waiting for you to go, wow, there's nothing happening. And Steve and Darren were so helpful this morning, and Darren was giving me instructions to look behind me earlier, and I couldn't quite know what he was doing. I thought it was some kind of Bethel communication. So, you know, when we come not in our own strength, in our own power, and a welcoming, and the type of worship and singing like that, it's important, isn't it? It's important. Because, especially at Christmas time, you guys can sing. I was sitting in front of a choir right here earlier, and I could hear the parts and the singing going behind me, and what beautiful, beautiful singing. And I imagine in the weeks to come, as Christmas comes on and you sing those beautiful carols and hymns, the praise that is going up will be beautiful. But I also know this, that many times you come in and there are those things that you're carrying in your hearts, just as you shared with prayer requests this morning. And because we're on earth, because of gravity and because of depravity, we can't worship the full way that we want to. There are those things that hold us down. God knows that. In heaven, you won't have that struggle. But for now, he knows what you came here with this morning. And he wants to minister to you, to me. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to our hearts.
Like you spoke to the waves and the storm, Lord Jesus. Jesus, speak peace to my soul. Just like you spoke to the waves and the storm, Lord Jesus, speak peace to my soul. Help me, Lord Jesus, to worship you. Lord, my flesh seems so strong. Help me, Lord Jesus, to worship you. Holy Spirit, inhabit my soul. By your blood you have cleansed me from all of my sins. By your grace you made heaven my home. Lord, in your mercy, take hold of my heart. Lift me in praise to your throne. Help me, Lord Jesus, to worship you. Lord, my flesh seems so strong. Help me, Lord Jesus, to worship you. Holy Spirit, inhabit my soul. Holy Spirit, inhabit my soul.
Father in heaven, we do ask for your help. Holy Spirit, we know that you are willing and able and desiring to change our hearts, to move our hearts, to take us from the things that we would be troubled with, the things that we would concern our lives with, and turn them over to you, and turn them to the Lord Jesus who came. As we begin to celebrate Christmas, that time of year that we remember his birth, we also remember why he came. And so, Lord God, minister to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, may we give you a blessing today in our worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in the Old Testament, if you want to turn in your Bibles, please, with me, if you want to turn to the book of Psalms, we're going to look how, particularly in the book of Psalms, singing and music played a big part in their worship. Just as it does with us today, music and singing helped them to forget about the things they were facing day in and day out. And before they came to worship, often they would sing, even working their way to the temple, as we read in the Psalms. On their way up to the temple, they would be singing praises in songs. If you would turn with me to Psalm 66, we're going to look at verses 1 to 4. 66, verses 1 to 4. Whenever I think of a psalm, I think of a stringed instrument, something like the guitar. I'm told they had 10 strings. I think of David and other writers, but I believe that they sat and they wrote these songs out from a heartfelt reality. They weren't in the songwriting business. They weren't in Nashville or having to write so many songs a year to make a living. These were songs that the Holy Spirit laid upon their hearts. In the busyness and in the cares of their lives, they were moved by the Holy Spirit to write. I'm just going to look at the first four verses of Psalm 66. If you have your Bibles, you can read along, or in the overhead it says, "Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. All the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name, Selah." Selah. You know, I believe that the psalmist, when he wrote these words, he knew them to be true in his heart. I believe that before it ever became something that was read in the temple, that was read in public worship, it was first true in his heart. Isn't that true of us today? Isn't that true when you come into a meeting such as this, and you sing and you think of the words, and before that ever happens, before that ever takes place and changes you, there has to be a willingness in your heart already. I don't know how many here have gone in and sang because the music was on the front or because you had the hymn books open and you were singing along and you heard the music, but in your mind you weren't there yet. You were still somewhere behind, still outside, something from the week past, something that's going on in your life or in your family. And it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to enter into public worship when your private life is in turmoil. And yet music helps us. I believe that the writer of the Psalms and these songs that they sang first had the reality in their own life, that personal relationship. Before they could have a corporate communion with God, they had a private relationship with God. That's what we read when we read this writing. It is personal. And yet brought it before the congregation, and as the congregation read the words, just as we're doing this morning, as they fed upon them, as they sang about them, maybe they were moved closer and closer to worship the Lord Jesus. Do you have a private time? Do you have a time when you look at the words of Scripture or you think of the songs and just to yourself, hum them or sing them? And just have that time of worship with the Lord Jesus yourself. It makes our corporate worship all that much sweeter to have that private relationship with God. But that's not easy to do in this day and in this world that we live. There's almost no place left that you can go and not be reached, not be contacted, tweeted, beeped, emailed, called. And so it takes an effort. It takes an intentional effort to find a place to be quiet and be still before the Lord.
Closing the door, I leave the world behind me, lifting my hands to you, and you're always there. All of the joy that this world denies me flows from your heart every time I come to you. Your love shines through whenever I come to you. You call me by name, and at the sound my soul rejoices. Heaven descends and your glory fills the air. Every prayer, every heart's desire has found its answer. And you tell me once again that your love will never end. You're my Savior and my friend who's always there. All through the day, as your Spirit leads me, no matter where I go, I'm still with you. Though I may walk through the valley's shadow, I will not be afraid to lead me through. Know that your word is true, and I put my trust in you. You call me by name, and at the sound my soul rejoices. Heaven descends and your glory fills the air. Every prayer, every heart's desire has found its answer. With your arms around me there, you tell me again you care. You're my Father and my friend who's always there.
You're always there. The psalmist knew that. Although maybe many times in his life he would wonder, where are you, Lord? Where have you gone? He only needed to look back in history. That's what the psalms often do. Looks back and sees the work of God. See how faithful God has been. And so the psalmist, as he writes and says, shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing to the glory of his name. Make his praises glorious. Make his praises glorious. I want to look at four words from this psalm. I want us to consider four words that the psalmist uses. And the first one I want to look at is the word praise. Make his praises glorious. Sing praise to his name. Praise is something that we often think about in the opening of a service, don't we? We sing praises and choruses and hymns, and that's the praise part. And then the speaker comes. And it's as if praise is over. And yet praise started this morning long before maybe you entered the building. Maybe it started in your heart before you got ready to come to Bethel. It started to remember, oh yes, I want to go this morning. And as you're busy and getting things put aside and making sure you get here, as you come in the doors, maybe you start to remember the Lord, things he's done for you in the past week. Maybe just sitting quietly in the seat, sometimes before anything even starts. You're just looking at the bulletin and you see a name and you see something and it reminds you of how God is working today. How he's working in your life and families that you know and people's lives that you know. To sing praise to his name. Do you know that praise means really to lift up? And I don't know, how are you here? I sit in the front and I do that for a reason, so I can't see you, and then I'm not distracted. It's not that you're distracting, it's that I get distracted easy, and so I don't know, but how many here, put up your hand if you put up your hand when you sing a praise chorus, or when you, I know there are some here, I've seen a few, but some put up two hands. And I'm one that I kind of just hold a hand out in front of me like this. I'm kind of conservative. But once in a while, I can't help it. I have to put my hand up. I don't do it for you. I don't even do it for me. I do it for him. But sometimes we're as far as praising goes, sometimes we are a little bit reserved, aren't we? But I think there's reason. There's reason to be orderly. There's reason that it's not about us. So we don't want to be showy about us. It's for the Lord. And so the psalmist, he says, make his praise glorious. Make it glorious. Lift it up. Sing out. It was beautiful to hear the singing this morning. I want to look at another word. And the next word is a word that we hear quite a bit these days, don't we? The word awesome. He writes, he says, say to God, how awesome are your works. That's why he's praising the Lord. He's remembering back, and as you read through the psalm, this man could remember many things that he was told, handed down in history. The release from Egypt, how God provided for them in the years of wandering in the wilderness. And many here today could give testimony of how God has been faithful to you and how he's blessed you. And that causes you to praise, and it might even cause you to lift up a hand. But the writer says, how awesome are your works. That's a little different way of using the word than we use it today. Every summer, or for the past 7 or 8 summers, I've gone to Galilean Bible Camp and spend a week there. And I probably hear this word more than I ever hear the rest of the time of the year. And I hear it about everything. Everything. How's the water? Awesome. How'd you sleep last night? Awesome. Yeah. Whoa, that was good music. What did you think? Awesome. How was the craft dinner? Awesome. You see, in the scriptures, it's reserved. Over 4,000 years, it's only used about 30 times. It's reserved for God's works. And how awesome he is. Sometimes we forget that. We get routine. We have words that we use and they mean hardly anything to us anymore. And yet the psalmist, when he used the word here, the true meaning of the word is it's frightening. It's terrifying how awesome God is. That's different than we think about it today, isn't it? It's so terrifying that the psalmist knows that his praise is because of these awesome works. And when he looks at the awesome works, he's caused and he's brought to another word that we read here, to worship. To worship. You can see it flowing from his writing. He's praising God, and he's praising God for his awesome works. And as he thinks of his awesome works, he bows down. And in some ways, he's terrified. He bows down in a holy reverence before God, realizing that he's a sinner before a holy and righteous God who can do anything at any time. And the psalmist bows down. That's what worship means. It means to bow down. Thinking of that, praise lifting up, worship bowing down, we kind of stay right in the middle, don't we? We don't bow down very often. I was humbled by this one time some years ago. I was on an intern program, and we were going to other religions and observing and having a chance to ask questions just to understand better how we can communicate with those people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, who do not hold up the Son of God as the Son of God. And so we went to the largest mosque, the largest group of Muslims to meet together in the United States. This is what is in California. And we went to, they have a large school there where the children are taught all the way up. And we also went to a service that they had there in the afternoon. And they offered, three or four of us that had gone, that we wouldn't have to bow down. They knew that we wouldn't want to do that. Out of respect for us, they give us a very warm welcome. Not as warm as we have it here today. But they gave us a warm welcome, very polite. And they said, if you would rather, you could sit on chairs. We'll bring you chairs. So they brought in, you know, those white plastic lawn chairs and set them in the middle of a big auditorium. So when the time came when the man spoke and they worshiped, there were only three or four of us sitting on a chair. There were thousands bowing. And I thought, I need to bow down sometimes for the one true God. If they can do that for a God that cannot hear and cannot save, I should be able to do that for a God that gave everything for me. I should be able to bow down in worship. And the psalmist, as he writes here, he knows that. He's brought to that point. And I don't doubt that maybe if he was playing an instrument or writing, that he stopped and bowed down. Then we come to one more word that I want to look at. A word that is kind of unknown to us. We're not sure of all the meaning that it might be. But at the end of the phrase, it says, Selah. Scholars have told us as they studied the history of the type of music and the type of psalms that went on, could be a musical term. It means to pause or to stop. It really means to stop and consider what just has taken place. Usually the words would stop. Sometimes maybe the instrumental part would carry on. But it is to call our hearts to a calm, neutral place, to stop and reflect on the preceding words. Selah. Psalmist recognized that he was caught in that place where he was looking on the true God, remembering God, how awesome his works, and it caused him to pause, to stop. The reason I bring this up, and I thought about this psalm earlier in the last few weeks, been reading about the Selah part. I thought about us at this Christmas time. Before we go barreling in with our calendars blazing and have our bulletins out and write down another event and something else that's going on, and these are all good things. Great, great choir singing, cantatas, and tea and bazaars. I'm not sure how great they are, but you could go to those too, and you could do something every night from now till Christmas. Something that has to do with Christmas, or may not. And yet, without first selahing, before you celebrate. It just may be another Christmas, another busy time. I have a calendar over my desk, and on that calendar are the special days of the year. I'm amazed how many days there are. How many days that commemorate a person or an event. There are so many. If you took everyone off, you wouldn't even have to work. There's something for everything. And today is Advent, the first day of Advent. Now, I'm familiar with Advent. I remember years ago hearing about it, and I know the purpose of Advent. I think it's not something new, although it's new in our culture, really. It's not that old. But back in the psalmist's day, Selah was like an Advent. It's to prepare your hearts for worship. That's what it means. It means a coming into place, a coming into view. And at this time of year, what's coming into view and what all this has taken place and what we're getting ready for is to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Wow. How awesome are your works, O Lord, that you would send your only Son to make a way that we could have a relationship with you, God. Someone said it would take a Jesus to invent a Jesus. This is an atheist who said that. But it's so amazing that even man could not make up this. This is only from God. And so today is the first part of the tradition of Advent. Are you preparing your hearts? Are you taking a Selah? Are you taking some time to think about him? To have that personal worship first before we blaze in to that corporate worship that's ahead of us. That season we call Christmas. I don't need an Advent calendar for myself to know when Christmas is coming around. I pretty much know every year. And it happens like this. It could be about now. It might be next week. It could have been last week. I never know when it's going to be. But you see, I'll be walking home from the chapel in Thessalonica. It's not that far. I'll be heading home one day. And I'll be almost home and I'll kind of sense a vibration going on. A little bit of a vibration. I'm not sure where it's coming from. It's kind of like when you're stopped at a red light and you think there's something wrong with your car, like, and you're not sure what it is. And so you're looking at the gauges, you're ready to shut it off, and you realize it's the car. No, it's not the car behind you. It's four cars behind you, right? The music just going, and you realize there's something going on. But as I get closer to home, I get the sense it's coming from our house. The windows are starting, you know, going like this, and I realize, and I go in the door, and I'm trying not to scare Kathy. I don't want to scare her, but she's singing at the top of her lungs, not knowing that anything is going on. I wonder if the sound could go, and we'll give you an idea what I listen to when I come home. Bring it up. It's about that loud in our small house. And I know it's Christmas. I know that Kathy has been worshiping by herself in the house. Is there something that you do? Is there something you need to do to prepare in your own heart? The story goes that after the first performance of the Messiah, the very first time that Handel played it, someone came up to him and said, "Thank you for producing such a wonderful piece of entertainment." "Entertainment," Handel replied. "My purpose was not to entertain, but to teach something." The purpose that we've come here today is not to entertain. And maybe it's to teach something, but it is to worship Jesus Christ and him risen. Amen? Amen. And so songs are written. Time is spent alone. And I trust that you have a way that you can spend alone to draw close to the Lord.
Bethlehem there was a story going round about a man and his wife and the child, a boy, the night they came to town. There were prophets who spoke long before of a king that was to come. And strange as it seemed, there was reason to believe this child could be the one. Child grew in stature, and it wasn't long before the people realized there was something in the way that he spoke to them. There was something in his eyes. And he was down at the synagogue with the preachers of the law, and they all stood amazed. But they didn't like the fact that a carpenter's son was telling them to change their ways. I am a prophet or a preacher, a son of God, a teacher, Messiah, a king, or just a man. News spread like fire through the land, and the people all came to see the strange things they'd heard about, and this man from Galilee. Some it was a magic show, surely someone could explain, 'cause no one's ever cured a man born blind, raise the dead or heal the lame. Late one night a plan was made to put an end to these tales. The leaders bought one who was close to him. It was a 30 silver piece bale. Hung him on a cross till he died. They were sure he was through. 3 days later he rose again. Now he's here and he's asking you. I am a prophet or a preacher, the son of God, a teacher, Messiah, a king, or just a man. And who do you say I am, a prophet or a preacher, the son of God, a teacher, Messiah, or king, or just a man? Who do you say I am?
Can I share with you from experience that I know what it's like to go not prepared into worship? I know what it's like to go into Christmas not prepared, not focusing on Jesus Christ. When we were first married, I remember our first Christmases. They were not what they are today. Their focus was much more wide and broad and worldly, and I just didn't know how to handle it or do it, even as a new believer. I remember our first home that we had. We set up the Christmas tree come Christmas time and put all the decorations on it. And leading up to Christmas was pretty good, but it was hectic and it was busy. And things didn't go just the way as planned. And as a new father, I wasn't totally satisfied with the way that I led my family into Christmas and the way that I let everything else kind of lead us into Christmas. And so finally, when it was just over, when I say over, it was probably still Christmas Day. And in frustration, in temper. The Lord had to deal with me for temper over the years. In frustration, I grabbed the Christmas tree and I pulled it out the door and put it at the end of the driveway to be picked up with the pickup. With the lights, the balls, and a cord still dangling from the electrical. Did I mention it was an artificial tree? I remember saying, that's the end of artificial Christmas for me. And there I put it out there. It was Boxing Day. They're not picking them up for a week. And I had to look at that. And I'm stubborn, so I left it there. Day in, day out. I think people came down the street. You know how they drive around to look at Christmas decorations at Christmas time? They went by our house to say, look at this house. They threw the tree out, decorations and all. Because I did not see law. Because I did not know the value of Jesus Christ. What that meant when God allowed him to come to earth, to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, to never have done anything wrong, and to all that, set his face, as Luke says, set his determination to go to Jerusalem, to go to Calvary, to go to the cross, because God wanted a way that you and I could sing praises and worship to him. You see, you can't without Jesus Christ. As hard as you're going to try this year to sing, you might be here today. And you might even take part in many Christmas events in the next few weeks. But if you have not come to Jesus Christ, if you have not come to put your faith in him, on him, everything on him, then the words will not even be heard in heaven. And your heart will not be changed, no matter how hard you try. And so today, while it's still called today, today you can come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not complicated. It's just believing that that plan that seems so hard to even understand is true. It's a fact. Oh, sure, it's a fact. He was born and the world will celebrate that. History tells us that. But why was he born? He is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, wonderful counselor, and he came for you. Will you trust that today? Will you let him be your Savior? Will you stop? And if you're here this morning and you have known and walked with the Lord for years, will you selah? Just stop and rest in that. Before we do anything else, let's just rest and trust that.
Come, trust your heart
to the Savior.
Oh, come and rest your soul in him, and all the things that enslave you will be washed away, and you'll be free again. Come, trust your heart to the Savior. Oh, come and rest your soul in him, and all the things that enslave you will be washed away, and you'll be free again. I know that darkness sometimes overtakes a soul. If you let the light of the Lord in, he will make you trust your heart to the Savior. Oh, come and rest your soul in Him. And all the things that enslave you will be washed away and you'll be free again. You'll be washed away and you'll be free again.
Father God, we thank you, Holy Spirit. We ask that you help us to worship you. We ask that you would open our eyes to glory, majesty. Today, as we prepare to leave this, pray that if there's one person who has not bowed down to you, given them, given you their heart, pray that that's able to do that. You would lead them. We will praise and worship you in spirit and flesh. Remember your son coming to earth, dying on the cross, being buried, rising again, now in heaven at the right hand of the Father. Someday, all who know him, give you praise and honor and worship. Also, Selah. In Jesus' name.